Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the No Mind Podcast. My name is Mitch Maxine. My name is Mitch Maxine.
I'll be your host. I'll keep going. It is what it is, man.
I know. There's no point. Okay, anyway,
my name's... We're happy to be here. Oh, wait.
Oh, for God's sakes, who's the host here? My name is Mitch Maxine, and this is the No Mind Podcast. This is a very special edition of the podcast. Bob and I thought this up while we were doing the martial arts fight scene podcast, and we thought it would be hilarious just to do a podcast of a bunch of guys sitting around drunk talking about martial arts stuff. So that's what we're doing. So before we get into anything, I want to introduce the guests on the podcast today. First, my brother Bob. He was around for the podcast we did on the martial arts fight scenes. He's done a few things in the martial arts. And our other guest is Darren Bell. I've known Darren for a long time. Great guy, mediocre martial artist.
I don't know.
That wasn't me, by the way. No, honestly, Darren's got a very impressive pedigree. And just to give you a little background, Darren got his black belt in 1992 at the same club that Bob and I received our black belts at. And he's dabbled in a lot of stuff over the years. Traditional jiu-jitsu, kempo, kickboxing, did some full contact, Muay Thai, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He did some pankration, hapkido. And he's trained with some very impressive guys who are closely linked to the UFC and professional MMA. So before we get going on the topics, I just want to say welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
And welcome, Darren.
That's where I jump in.
Cue Darren.
Yeah, welcome, Bob.
Oh, shit. Okay. So, like I said, the whole premise of today's podcast is just us being drunk and stupid. So, Bob decided that we should go around the table and describe to you, the listening audience, what we've done in preparation for this particular podcast. So, let's start with Bob.
Yeah, I suggest that you and I go first because Darren's going to like be way out there. For me, a very pedestrian cocktail of a couple of vodka...
He said cock.
Mixed. True and tail. A couple of tail cocks of vodka. About 4 ounces of vodka mixed with my special elixir of skim milk and protein powder.
Oh, my God.
To make me think that it's healthy. It sounds weird, but it's good for me. And then 5 minutes prior to the sound test, which was, what, a half an hour ago, I cracked open my first beer, and I've got a few more open and waiting for me to go during. Go, Mitch.
Okay. I've had a couple of Heyer's root beer vodka coolers cut with a lot of actual vodka.
Girl drink.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
No.
I'll let that one go.
GPQT drink.
Politically what?
Okay, so that's where I am. Darren.
Funny enough, when you said preparation, I was actually looking at the topics here, and I'm thinking, well, I did prepare, and I did work around the topics, and then Bob launched into what he's been drinking. I'm like, oh, that's what you meant in preparation. So my preparation actually doesn't do anything different than any other regular night. So I've had my normal drinks for the night. I've got a vodka and Red Bull sitting in front of me just to keep things alive. Oh. I've got a vodka and Coke sitting to the right of me. I brought in a shot of Jaeger in case we have to up the ante a bit.
Over on the left, so you can rotate
I thought that would have been enough, and I thought, just in case, I don't want to be leaving the scene of the conversation, so I brought the bottle of Jaeger in with me in case I need another shot at some point. So I think we're all well prepared.
I got to tell you, my favorite part about knowing Darren is his... just astounding knowledge and understanding of mixed drinks.
Of alcohol?
Yeah. This guy will mix a drink that will change your life. And I'm not exaggerating. I've been to parties.
Wait a second. In what way? What did he serve you and what did you do?
In a very negative way. And it was it was amazing. I'd drink this, and I would sip it, and I would go, oh, my God, that's the best tasting thing I've ever tasted. And that's what turned me into an alcoholic. So anyway, so there we go. Okay, guys, so we're going to talk about some martial arts crap. This is going to be entertaining. The first talking point I want to start... Oh, before I go there, do you guys have anything you want to say just in anticipation of this podcast?
Oh, man.
Will I go first?
You go first.
No, go ahead. You already started it.
All right. I'm taking a bit of a deep breath now because we're about to talk about stuff that is semi-serious, really. I take seriously... But I'm trying to do it when I've had some alcohol, so it's going to be interesting how that filters everything. I actually feel deeply about some of this stuff, so it's going to be. I think it might be interesting. Go ahead, Darren.
Funny enough, I echo what Bob's saying there in the sense that normally I think some of my best, say, party atmospheres over the years is being stuck in a room where you end up with a few martial artists and you have been having drinks throughout the night and it's after hours, you've already closed the bars down. And sometimes part of my other background would be as a musician. So sometimes you go back to a party and you have musicians playing there and you might do music. But if you end up back at a martial arts party, you're inevitably going to be talking about martial arts. And same as Bob, like I hold that really dear to my heart and I find it interesting. And nowadays, just the way my life has turned and the people I'm hanging with, I don't have an opportunity to have drinks and talk about martial arts. So as soon as this suggestion came to me, I thought, that's brilliant. I can actually have drinks and talk about martial arts. But while we're going to have a few laughs on here and it will get funny and stuff, I do believe it is serious. And I'm actually honored and I feel blessed to be sitting here, being able to have drinks and talk to people that I respect, both as martial artists and partiers, that I can sit and have a normal conversation about something that I really like.
Hey, Darren, I'm just going to break in. How long have you been in Ireland? That's quite the accent you got going there.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
It's true. How long have you been in Ireland?
I'd be 18, almost 20 years now.
Okay.
Give Mitch. Or take a few stints elsewhere, but...
You know, I just want to throw my own Klig light on what you guys had said. First of all, thank you both for coming on. I'm finding it desperately depressing how hard it is to get people to want to come on the podcast.
I'm sure a lot of people want to come on and drink.
Fuck, I'll do it every week.
And once again, Darren Bell. And you're both right. We're going to be talking about some reasonably serious stuff, and it'll be interesting to see how it comes out filtered through the alcohol we're drinking. And one thing I want to point out is a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking about are topics that we could do entire podcasts about on their own, and I'm sure we will over time. So we're not going to spend too much time on each topic because we only have a certain amount of time, but this is going to be interesting. So again, before we get going, guys, thank you so much for coming on. It just makes this all worthwhile. Aww. To do stuff like, oh, stop it. Oh, my God. Okay, let's talk about rank hypocrisy. And by that, I mean, what do you guys think about...
Christ. Sorry, See, my producer gave me a list of topics, and I had them in order here, and they just went sideways now. You just went straight for probably the most serious topic out of the list of topics that we could be talking about. Now, I'm okay with it, but I thought it'd be a nice general kind of... am I allowed to... Not dictating the topics, but...
Absolutely.
Just change the order?
Go crazy.
Can we go with something that I think is a lot less controversial, and that'd be the evolution of martial arts?
Go.
Oh, shit, Miko?
Okay, I'll start.
Go ahead, Bob.
Back in whatever 1900s, early 1900s, you had your karate, like your.
That's
your,
before my time. That's just. I just want to get that out there.
Not before mine, okay?
Bob was born in 1872.
The Civil War was still going on. Abraham Lincoln gave a great speech. But you had the old style karate, you had the old style judo, you had what else did you have? You had I don't know what else you had, but anyway, now the rules started evolving. there were fewer. You could do more things were allowed, and then in whenever it was, you started to evolve into the jiu-jitsus and the Brazilian martial arts and the MMAs, and I'm wondering where it's going to go after this. If it's going to go anywhere after this, where could it go, and is it impossible for it to go there just because we're at the limit?
My perspective on that is, I think the introduction of MMA really is the ultimate evolution of the martial arts.
It was incredible. It was incredible what happened there.
It really was. It encapsulated bits and pieces of everything that had always been unreasonably separated out. There was no crossing martial arts lines when you were training.
Right.
Until MMA happened. Although I am going to say that I was really impressed at the club that we grew up in, which was Jushin Karate School in Peterborough, Ontario. One thing I admired about that club was the willingness to embrace things outside the lines of traditional karate.
True enough.
Yeah. Darren, anything?
Yeah, just not to stray too far from that, but I remember, I think you went off and did capoeira. I know Bob definitely went off and did judo. And obviously I went up and did grappling, and I think the head instructor was always welcoming for us to do little bits of that and incorporate it in. And I think whatever knowledge he had and tried to get elsewhere, he tried to incorporate that in, and then he welcomed any other instructors that might have gained knowledge elsewhere to do that. So yeah, definitely. I think it was almost a hybrid, or maybe even, obviously not the birth of MMA, but we were actually doing MMA by the general consensus of what MMA is defined as to this day.
You talk about welcoming teachers who are welcoming of students from other martial arts to come and practice with them. Not all teachers are like that, and that's just one of the first points to be made about dissension between clubs and between instructors.
You know, it's interesting because I remember a specific circumstance in the club history where there was a green belt, gender is irrelevant. It was a girl, but it doesn't matter. And she...
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Well, Cisco. I brought up... But she was a member of the club, and she was a green belt, and she decided that she wanted to take aerobics at a local gym. And that local gym also happened to have a competing karate club training there. And I remember vividly the head instructor saying, no, you're not allowed to take aerobics at that gym. And I remember her quitting aerobics based on his requirement that she not train there because there was a competing martial arts club there. And I always thought, because everything we've said is true, I mean, he always seemed very welcoming. And that one incident sticks out in my head as I never really understood why that requirement that she not take aerobics. It wasn't even that she wanted to take a martial art there. She wanted to take aerobics there. It just seemed to be very contradictory. It didn't make any sense.
Funny enough, because we'd be going down a rabbit hole here, but I remember other instances that were similar to that. So I think we should go back to the evolution of martial arts, because there's other instances of that we'll leave out.
Or maybe come back to later.
Fair enough. Okay.
Follow me here for a second. The evolution of martial arts seems to be involving... first of all, merging them, and second of all, loosening of the rules as far as is safe to do so. What would happen? What's next? Gouging eyes and kicking groins and knees? Why not?
That's pretty much always been there.
Well,
not being funny. That's obviously self defense. It's whatever it involves. So,
let me ask a question. When we use the term evolution, generally, that term has a positive connotation. Evolution is a good thing.
Yeah, things get more practical as they go along.
Is the evolution that we see in our individual experiences in the martial arts is it by definition a good thing?
Can I just ask Bob a question on that? So whether it's a good thing or not bad thing, you said evolution was, what did you just say?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Come on. It was important.
It's like Memento. My memory is very short, and I have to keep tattoos to remind me of everything I just said, and I haven't had time to make
always,
a tattoo.
I digress. Memento is one of my favorite movies. No, you were talking about the evolution of martial arts being...
It's merging styles and loosening of rules.
No, that's not what you said.
That's not what you said.
Here, Mitch, you're the administrator here. You know, look back to your notes and go, okay, what did Bob say? Because I have, it's not a counter to it. I just had a question on it.
Sorry, dude. I'm not keeping notes on everything.
Oh my God! If I could rewind this, we could go back. I also said what I was going to say.
Will the evolution of martial arts from here involve eye gouging and groin kicking? Like, why? What would happen to the martial arts if that was allowed?
It was already allowed before.
Well, and Darren makes a good point. When we do, and coming up through the ranks, and we did self-defense.
Self-defense would have
There were no techniques that weren't allowed. The more esoteric and the more violent and the more all-encompassing your techniques were, the better your self-defense was.
Yeah, but dude, there was no contact allowed. There was no contact allowed, and when there's no contact allowed, martial arts devolve into what it is now with point karate. That's not bad.
That's not bad. Let me just interject there for a bit because I kind of remember what Bob said. No, he was talking about martial arts involving sort of in a sport format. So it was like, yeah, it's involved if you take what the UFC has become or Bellator or Pride, like the various competitions around the world where you have to be a mixed martial artist in order to do what they are doing in a cage or a ring. Uh-huh. But that's not necessarily the evolution of martial arts in, say, a self-defense format or a more...
Or a judo format or a...
Exactly, 100%.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I'll add to that once you're done.
No, I was kind of done. From whatever I heard from you, you were talking about it in a sports context, and I said, yeah, they're evolving so much in a sports contact. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it's a good thing that it's more entertaining for the vast majority of people that are watching that kind of shit. And even if that engages people to get involved in the martial arts or whatever, or are they just going to be like armchair quarterbacks and just want the blood and guts of whatever happens after that, whatever. But even just if anybody gets involved because they go, look, I just want to be better than I was before, and this seems like a more well-rounded way to be.
That's
so
a great
that
point.
Evolution, in a sense, would like I welcome that.
This brings up a huge, huge topic in my mind, and that is, look, you got your judo, where there are very strict rules. You can't use the rules of MMA or mixed martial arts in judo. You can't kick, you can't punch, but the rules of judo being so restrictive means that the spectacular techniques that you see in judo are possible, and there are not possible in any other martial art but that one because of the specificity of the rules. Something like Aikido, beautiful martial art, wonderful, not practical, but given the rules, it allows for these techniques that if you just watch them, you'll be blown away with how beautiful they are and how body mechanical they are in you know, whatever.
Okay, let me jump in here for a quick second. Bob, I want to ask you something. Because you'd used the term de-evolution a few minutes ago when talking about point fighting. Isn't point fighting to be considered in the same framework as judo? It's a different art form. It's a different framework with its own set of rules and its own set of requirements, and you can't do certain things. Why is, in your estimation, is point fighting really a de-evolution where judo is a beautiful thing, but they both seem to have that same restriction, that same framework you must follow?
Absolutely great question. And the point karate ought to be and was, like I'd say in the 60s, 70s, point Kodokan karate was brutal, although they never made contact. And it's devolved because of the loosening of the rules, and you don't have to focus your techniques as much prior to contact as you used to have to. You can touch with a fingertip, and you'll get a point. Don't get me started on this topic. That's another podcast, and I'm getting a little upset. But yes, that's my input on that.
Okay, let's talk about this then.
Wait,
okay, aren't I right? Tell me I'm right.
You didn't want to talk. Bob, you were getting upset. It didn't sound like you wanted to carry this through.
I mean, you guys go.
I just want to go from a different perspective here because, again, my other background would be in music, and a lot of the stuff you can equate with music. And if you take someone that's, say, just growing up with music and wants to play an instrument, and everybody's thinking, well, you got to play rock and pop or pop and rock or whatever, and that's where the money is, that's where the chicks and the drugs and everything, that's where you want to go. But once you get playing, like everybody wants to be a rock star, but once you get playing, you actually start to study music and you start to go, okay, I just want to do classical. Depending on the instrument you're playing, that's what you want to get onto, or jazz or whatever genre fits what you happen to have a passion for. Now, that might not be the mainstream thing. It might not seem an evolutionary thing. Obviously, classical music has been around since God knows how long. So it's not really evolving anymore. Classical is classical. And you're studying the greats, and that's where you go. But does that mean it's bad or good? So if you want to go in a certain direction, you'll study music that happens to be constantly evolving. And in fairness now, like rock music and stuff like that has evolved so much in the past several decades that it's harder and harder to get involved in. And there's nothing wrong with going back and going, look, I like jazz or I like classical, and that's what I want to do. And I think if you start studying the martial arts, you can go off and go, I like Aikido, I like Hapkido, I like Jiu-Jitsu, I like any, whether it's traditional or otherwise, you can actually go, this is what I want to do. And you can have a passion for that. And it doesn't matter whether that has evolved. It doesn't have to be. Everybody thinks mixed martial arts is the one that's evolved, but it's like any other art. It doesn't have to evolve to get better.
The thing is, and Bob, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to leverage off a little bit about what you said about point fighting. Darren's absolutely right. There are different, to make that analogy between martial arts and music, there are different styles and different forms of both, and whichever one you choose to specialize in or to concentrate on is fine. But I think Bob's point was, with point fighting, it's become so watered down and so not dependent on good technique or focused technique. To make the music analogy, let's say you love, I don't know, pick a form of music, rock and roll. Bob, is it fair to say that your perspective is that point fighting has devolved as, if we compare it to, say, rock, devolving to someone taking a stick and smacking a rock with it and just, you know, making sounds with whatever they have at hand. Do you know what I mean? Like,
kind of, but I understand Darren's desire to bring it back to more general terms. Sorry, I'll go back to yours, Mitch, after I talk about Darren's. And it sounds like, Darren, you're saying that UFC, which is the, you know, the popular and the thing, and it's kind of the equivalent of America's Got Talent for music. It's the popular one. And whereas with the classical and with the whatever reggae or whatever the different genres are, you could specialize in those things without needing to go into the generalized sphere and trying to excel there. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of in a roundabout way, yeah, yeah. You actually said it a lot more articulate than I did, but
I don't think so.
That's kind of what I was getting at, yeah, yeah. It's just the kind of thing where when we talk about the evolution, like any one art can evolve, we might not see it as in the general public, because all we see is what's on YouTube and the fighters and the cage fighting and all that stuff.
Excellent point.
But I think we have to be careful to make a delineation between evolution and change. I think evolution...
Or improvement.
or exactly. Evolution, I think, has a connotation of improving. Change doesn't necessarily mean for the better.
Like the other thing, when you talk about evolution, like it could be sword fighting, fencing, Aikido, Kendo. Any of those things, like shit that people learned several hundred years ago. Obviously, everybody improves, and you get better coaches, better trainers, better students. So everything is going to evolve. Whether
I don't agree. You know? I think that perspectives, social requirements, social niceties, political correctness infect art forms and not just
influence?
Martial arts.
Influence?
Yes, absolutely. And it makes them change, but it doesn't make them evolve. It makes them change so that we're tiptoeing around promoting people who shouldn't be promoted because of social convention. I don't think that's a positive change.
Dude, we have to be careful not to speak only of our little fishbowl that we're in. I think that Darren's absolutely right. Evolution's going on in the specific martial arts, and we have to be careful.
I'd love to see it.
I don't know, man. I've been involved in some stuff where people are just excelling more and more.
I'll be honest. I got into a little Facebook argument the other day. Someone posted a video that was taken recently of a guy who was apparently a seventh degree black belt doing a yellow belt kata, and it was awful. It was horrendously bad the way he performed it by the standards by which I was weaned on. And I posted and I said, this is really quite bad. And it turned into a whole discussion about what's good and what's bad. And just because someone does something doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. I think this is a disease that's infected us. Which
Can
is
I?
Any just give yeah. me 1 second. Anything
we both want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Anything anybody posts online should automatically either not be commented on or be applauded. And I think that's a dangerous precedent because it doesn't allow for critique. It doesn't allow for criticism. And I think criticism is essential in proper evolution. Go.
I think, sorry, Bob, you can go ahead after this. I think a lot of times because people say martial arts, they start to do that whole art thing, which is definitely, and I respect that to a T, no worries about that. But there's also the martial side of it and the fighting and the combat side of it. So if you take martial artists as probably one of the top athletes in the world, it's been proven now that nobody works harder than those guys. But if you take an athlete, somebody that's going into the Olympics, it's obviously that almost every Olympic sport has evolved over the years. Every year, somebody's breaking a record that was broken before. So every athletic thing that people are doing physically is evolving. The more training goes in, the more dietitian, strength and conditioning, all that kind of stuff. So it just applies right across the board to the human body. So whether you're into martial arts or running or basketball or any kind of sport, it's just the natural evolution of the world. That's how it goes. So martial arts is going to get better by the same proxy as any other athletic form.
I don't
Mitch,
disagree.
I gotta add okay. to that.
Please go.
The classical karate, the way it
oh,
is.
Oh, we heard it, Bob. Come on. Where is it?
I'm not going to say.
Please go
say it. That's it. I love it.
It's Mitch icing the balls of his BBC because that's what his BBC likes. He'll edit that out in post.
Oh my God!
Anyway, I think Mitch that the fishbowl that the classical karate. General, what is it? Milieu? In our geographical neighborhood is an exception to exactly what Darren's talking about. There are martial arts I can name. Kendo improves all the time because of the speed, because of the power, and it's demonstrable that it's improving because you can see the points being scored, and the points are objective. A sword touches a helmet, there's a point. It's different. It's different, and it's an important distinction, and it's a big topic, and touch on it, please.
Okay. I don't deny for a second that there are practitioners who, through their normal organic development of what they do, improve the quality of what they do. I am also going to argue that more than the people who improve it, there are people who just decide to do different things that don't improve it, that devolve that art form, even in that little bubble. Sure, you get little townships all over Ontario and all over the world who have martial arts clubs. And just because someone at that club decides to do something that's outside the norm of normal or accepted martial arts practice doesn't mean it's an improvement. And I watch videos every day, and I'm not exaggerating, every day. And not just in our little bubble. On YouTube, on Facebook, of martial artists who are doing things that are embarrassing. There's absolute movement forward on a bunch of different fronts. But there's also people who are grabbing it and dragging it under the waves and drowning any sense of good martial arts. And it's these people that I worry about. These people who devolve what we do instead of evolve it.
Okay, I got a point to make. Hang on, me first.
Yep, go ahead.
Name me...
Mine's better, but go ahead.
Show me a judo video where somebody does something different and scores and doesn't score a point with it. That's the point in
this,
judo.
You know what? I absolutely defer to that perspective. I would be hard pressed to find a judo video.
I actually deserve that. Did you just say that?
He's mumbling again.
Wait, can I just do a shot of Jaeger while we're sitting here? Because it's become pretty serious, so I'm just going to break it up.
Let's get this in real time.
Go.
Hold on.
Folks listening, get ready. Darren's about to do a shot of Jaeger.
No, he's doing it.
Thank you.
Nice.
I've done it now.
Well done.
Thank you. 8 out of 10.
Oh, no, you should have seen it. It was 10.
No, wait, his style's going to evolve. Don't worry. He'll come up with a 9 later.
Look, just to encapsulate my point, I absolutely agree that there...
Fuck, I can't keep up with this shit.
Oh, my God. I absolutely agree that there is evolution in a positive direction. I just see a lot of de-evolution and individual clubs doing things that drag the art form back instead of pushing it forward.
But that has nothing to do with the art form or anything. That could be in any kind of scholastic
of course it
position
does.
Where you're going to get idiots that are teaching the wrong shit.
Right. This is my point. This is the cause I'm championing, which is the people who are the students of these charlatans who pretend to teach martial arts and don't. But what?
I mean, nowadays, everybody has the internet, everybody has YouTube. You would assume everybody be well enough informed.
Oh, don't get me started.
I know, but they technically should be able to, like, all you got to do, if you're going to a new club, here, for all the listeners here, if you're going to a new club or you're thinking of taking up a new art or the art, you just do your research on the club and the art.
Yeah.
And if they got reviews and you can talk to other people that think it's all right, you do your research and decide whether you want to train at that club. If they're charlatans, don't train there. If they have a good reputation and they've got a background that you can follow and measure prove, I guess. I can't think of the word, but then that might be the club to go to.
Bob, can you speak for a moment about your perspective on how you figured the internet would impact people? Because this is important. It speaks directly to what Darren was just talking about.
It's true enough. I was so naive when the internet first started. and kids. There are people alive who were alive before the internet started.
Nurse!
bedpan! you would think at the inception, where everybody has access to information from all around the world, and you had this hopeful notion that everyone would become better informed.
I see where he's going.
Yeah.
I agree. I know where you're going, and I agree totally.
Mitch asked my input on the internet, and that's all it was. I want to let you two guys go on about this thing a little bit more before. I don't even know if I want to input on it, but go ahead.
Okay, hold on. I want to. Okay, we've been rambling for, hang on, 35 minutes.
We can change topics.
I want to do that. I want to make a shift in topics because we've been talking about the evolution of martial arts, and it's been a great conversation.
Just to conclude. I was actually going to say, I think we kind of covered everything there, and I think nobody disagreed with anybody. There was no arguments. I think we all kind of ascertained that it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It depends on what you're doing. But overall, if an evolution inspires people to train or gets you into something else or encourage you to do something else, that's a good thing.
I absolutely agree. Bob?
Well, it's hard to disagree with that statement.
Right, exactly.
Right on, Darren.
Does that mean I won?
Gold star to
Darren. 2 + 2 = 4. I win.
Nice.
Gold star. Okay, that's one.
Okay, next topic. sorry.
He's making chalk marks on the paper in front of him. Who won each
Darren
point.
Won. Okay.
I am the best.
okay, one of the reasons I do these podcasts and one of the reasons I talk to the people I talk to about this stuff is because I like to do what I call a level set. Because I spend a lot, way too much time in my own head thinking about stuff and trying to figure shit out and trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. And I get that inclusive perspective often leads me in in directions that may not be right or correct or value added. So I like to bounce things off people. So
can I just interject?
Yeah.
Are you still awake, Bob?
Bob, wake up, Bob.
Are you still awake after that diatribe?
I wasn't even done.
Sorry. Yeah,
no, exactly. Mitch is only half done. His talk about level checks, Mitch is really good at this. We're involved in business together, and he routinely says, look, I need a level check. I'm not sure I'm correct on this. And he bounces things off me, and we talk back and forth, and we end up usually with a you know, an average or better perspective than we started. And I just want to say that's a great thing for everybody to try to do.
And to draw that into what we're talking about now, I have a perspective on rank and just to set the perspective, I'm talking about black belt rank and higher. Okay, I'm not talking about Q belts. I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about adult.
Nah, sorry. Yeah, go on. All right, here
you made me spit out my beer, you fucker.
That's not what Jesus I meant to do. That was actually legitimate.
Are you all right?
I wasn't even being anything there. It was actually. I just saw this as that. I know I have the topic here, but it was just like, oh, I don't know where to go with that.
Darren just paused.
You can keep that inside your head if you want.
Darren can I just
throw this out there?
Yeah.
I honestly don't think there's a rank value above black belt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is this new?
Jesus.
I just thought it's just look, you have to reach a target. I understand the whole concept, and we've been preached over and over that when you reach a black belt, that's the starting of your training, and now you really got to do this, and blah, 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 blah. And that's fine if you reach your black belt when you're 16 or 20. But if you start studying martial arts when you're 20 or 30, and it takes you 10 years to reach your black belt, you're not going to reach fuck all after that. Your body just can't do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, realistically, you're not going to do the sort of shit that people associate with higher black belt ranks. Somebody walks in and goes, oh, I'm a 10th degree. And it's like, I don't know what that means. Have you won the UFC? No. Then you're not a 10th degree. I don't know. Yeah. I love the achievement of a black belt, but I don't think there's anything beyond that other than how you want to aspire to be better after that. And you don't need a rank, and everybody knows you don't need a rank. And if you're training with other black belts, there's no ranks there. You just fucking train, and that's it.
Go, Mitch.
Okay. This is a hot topic for me, so I'm going to try and keep my emotions in check here.
Because you're the host.
And I must...
Bob and I can let loose.
I honestly believe that rank beyond black belt is... And titles like Henshi and Renshi and Flinchy and Grinchy and whatever those titles are. And
Gazy.
And people who wear multicolored belts, like black and red or red and white or red and with a black stripe through it or whatever... I honestly believe that all of those trappings are ego-feeding, nonsensical bullshit. I can't bring myself to look at somebody who signs their emails, master, whoever, and take them seriously.
Just one quick thing, Mitch. Just like I know you're on a rampage and everything now, and I understand it, but just out of curiosity... If you get a bachelor's degree in whatever, say Bob, I know you're educated. You got a bachelor's degree in something.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know which one of you, but I'm just generally. I know you guys are both educated. So if you went and you got a bachelor's degree in something, and then you moved on and you continued the training, whether it was relevant or not, you end up with a master's degree. And then you can continue training, whether it's relevant or not, and you end up with a PhD or a doctorate or whatever it goes. Does that make you any better in your knowledge? Or could you have stopped, say, the whatever the hierarchy thing that those degrees are and just go off and be better in your field?
I'm going to ask Bob if he wouldn't mind if I responded to that first.
Oh, I want to step back from this, man. Go ahead.
When we talk about PhDs and master's degrees and educational progression, we're talking about a system that is enclosed, like that whole educational system is North American based. If you have a PhD in something in Canada or in the US or whatever, and you take it to India, it doesn't transfer. Same thing if you have a doctorate in India and you come to Canada. It doesn't transfer, which is why you have people in Canada working Joe Jobs who were doctors back where they came from because their education doesn't transfer. So to use your analogy, if I get a PhD in Canada and then I work toward my master's, then I work toward my doctorate. Sorry, I would get my bachelor, then my master, then my PhD, then my doctorate, blah, blah, blah. The requirements for each of those segmented progressions, there's defined requirements for each one. You need to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this in order to achieve that.
Yeah.
After you get your black belt, there are very few specifically defined requirements that allow progression through the ranks.
Sorry, Mitch, listen, just to interject, sorry, this is just, is this our club or the affiliated clubs that you've been with? Because I'm sure there's other clubs that do have specific requirements that you must have in order to advance.
I would be very, very interested if anybody could present or send me or link me to a system of karate that has defined requirements for the progression through the black belt ranks. If there are, that's what I want. But granted, all I can speak to is my anecdotal experience, and my anecdotal experience says that after Shodan, I don't see any required defined requirements that allow you to progress through the ranks. It's all subjective. Hey, you've been around for 50 years. You should have a fourth degree. Here you go. Here you go.
I think we've established that ranks are fucked. I think you just stated it. I think you just shut it down right there. Ranks are fucked. So unless
let me just ask a question, Bob, unless you're going to argue
why they're not fucked, I think they're fucked.
Dude, I'm not. Hang on. Go with me here. Mitch, I've been speaking globally about all the martial arts. Should we restrict this to our...
Yes.
Like, all right, so done.
Are you really global?
I'm global, motherfucker. Join me.
Bob's George global.
Here, I'm there.
Match game 73.
Thank God someone got that reference.
Older reference lost on younger crowd.
Do your Paul Lynde impression.
Full speed ahead. Look that up, folks.
God darn.
That's okay. Paul Lynde on Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
When somebody falls over.
Paul Lynde was always the center. Overboard. Paul Lynde was always
yes,
the center.
Yes, he was. And the question was, when a man falls overboard in a ship, they yell, man overboard. When a woman falls overboard, what do they say?
Full speed ahead.
Oh, now we're getting into marital. Now we're getting into marital arts.
Okay, just to reel this back in for a second, Bob makes a really good point. I have very limited experience with. I've trained in, but limited experience in ranking with Aikido, Judo, all that stuff. Bob would be better able to speak to that than I would. I'm not even going to pretend that I know anything about it. So all of my comments are specific to karate, and even more specifically, karate in the Southern Ontario milieu.
Cool, so let's rein this into that.
Okay. Rank above Shodan in Southern Ontario is subjective, without requirement, and absolutely nonsensical. And I agree with Darren that any rank above black belt is just... It exists for one purpose and one purpose only, which is feeding the ego of the people who get the rank. Go.
Oh, I'm all for just white belts and black belts in rank in a club.
Darren?
No, that's exactly what he said, but let's say... we come from a different age, but if you started when you were like fucking 0 years old and you got your black belt at 16, then you still need to, whatever. We all know why the ranking system's there. It's part for motivation.
It's for children.
Come on. No, it is part of motivation. If you're just starting new, Bob, you know that. You're going from white belt to yellow belt. You have something to strive for. That's what it is. It's not
nope,
a kid
it doesn't
thing.
Follow. Nope. I've been in clubs where that doesn't work. But anyway, go ahead.
No, but say for the average person, you need something. You're striving for something. You learn a certain amount of things.
Absolutely.
You move up to
no
the
question.
Next rank. So
no question.
That's fine. So the kid is the same way. So if the kid reaches a black belt and they're only 16 or 17, they got a long way to go. If we reach it, we don't have that long way to go. So there must be something new for the kids to reach. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm not justifying this. I'm just saying it's one thing to consider that if you got your black belt as 16, like a junior black belt, then what do you strive for after that? You've already reached what we just said as adults, what we've achieved. So
you're actually
telling a kid that you've just reached the pinnacle of your life and they're only 16.
Previously in this conversation, you said that everybody in the club knows how good each of the black belts are. So rank in above black belt doesn't make much sense.
That's us talking because we understand that sort of shit. You get a kid that's only... No, I'm serious. You get a kid that's only 15, 16. They don't think the same way they do.
Dude,
and they haven't been through all the same shit.
Let's talk about giving a black belt to a 15-year-old. We'll talk about that.
I think if you've mastered the art... Then you get it.
Absolutely, fair enough. Mitch, go.
And then how it's almost like, how do you manage that person now? How do you not fuck the rest of their life up?
The thing is,
by creating some weird kind of monster that you're a black belt and you're indestructible, or you know everything, or you have so much more to gain. There's a lot of shit there, and if you're not in the proper club with the proper instruction or even almost counselors, like, that could just run away with you.
But we're talking about how to run a proper club with proper instructors.
No, we're just talking about rank hypocrisy. Okay. Like, this could go anywhere. We're not talking about, that's just one of the things.
Not about the way things should be. We're talking about the way things are.
Let me ask you guys a question, okay? I've been involved in a number of circumstances over the years where people have been obviously promoted to rank.
Fail! I know exactly where you're going. Fail them.
You made me spit my beer out again.
Well, hang on a sec.
Fail them. Fuck them.
Look, we know what we're talking about. How about we actually verbalize it so the people listening know what we're talking about?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Right.
Grading tests that the people shouldn't be grading.
Right. Someone tests for whatever rank, and their technical ability is clearly not up to a minimum standard, but they get promoted anyway. Is there any circumstance under which someone whose technical skill doesn't meet a certain minimum can still be justified in grading to the next rank?
None. You
we're
can't
all,
go to
we're
school.
We're all agreed on
if,
that, so let's start
if you're
with
going
that.
To, oh, yeah. If you're going to school and you don't pass the exam, you don't move on. It's as simple as that. If you're in the whatever.
But wait a sec. There's a very let's use that example that Darren just brought. If you go to school, you take a test and you don't pass, you don't pass. The thing is, 2 + 2 = 4 on any test. If you get the right answer, you got the right answer. But you have to admit that technical ability is a little less easy to, it's not quite as easy to define. It's quite subjective. A low block is a low block, but who defines what's correct and what isn't, and what aspects of the low block need to be demonstrated to go to yellow belt or orange belt or green belt? So how do you marry that stuff? Like,
the trouble is, the head instructor determines what the standards are, and the head instructor is fallible.
I'm going to have to interject there, only because of the topic, not because of what Bob said. Nothing to do with what Bob said. No, seriously, with what you just said, it's like it's exactly how that. How do you determine? What degree have you done something? Like, if I'm in a schoolyard and some kid throws a punch at you and I manage to block it, well, then I've done my thing. Whether I'm fat or slow or small or big, or it doesn't matter. I managed to block that thing. That's a measurement. Do you know what I mean? Like anything you teach someone that helps them evolve, in whatever they're doing, that's a positive thing in their life, in whatever the long-term thing, whether it's martial arts or anything else like that. So obviously, I know we're talking about the measurements in belt grading and stuff like that. It's a lot more complicated than that. But here, I would still go, it still has to be up to a certain standard. And if you don't meet it, you don't meet it.
But what's that standard? And I want
to... I don't know if I throw a punch at you and I hit you in the head. You failed. What the fuck? You just failed your standard.
Wait a minute.
You failed your standard.
Seven-year-old yellow belt candidate. Block this.
Well, here. Well, get another... I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Jesus. There does have to be a certain amount of... We know that. How do you measure? Are we talking about measurement?
See, this brings up a really interesting point. And Darren, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've noticed a certain trend in your perspective over the course of the podcast. You put a great deal of weight on the practicality of what an individual trains in. Is that fair?
I'm not sure what you mean, but...
It sounds like he's unzipping a zipper. This is disturbing.
I've just heard the same thing.
No. Like, he was doing that when we were talking about a 7-year-old yellow belt, and it really got me. Okay.
I am so... that's getting cut out. That's not good.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, go on. Jesus, that was Bob's thing, too. It wasn't even me. Bob. Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, it was my, it was my fault. You took the onus on me.
Bob's bad. Bob bad, Darren good.
Bob bad.
Bob bad.
Drink man, woman.
No, sorry, Mitch. What you were saying there?
Eat shit, pray love. There you go. No, Darren, I've just noticed a perspective over the conversation that you lend a great deal of weight to the practicality of what you train in. Does it have practical application? How good is the individual at applying what they've learned in a practical circumstance? Is that fair?
In fairness, that it's almost like that's what I base my entire existence on in martial arts. If like, just to be fair, like, obviously I'm old now and I don't hold the same merit in that, but when I was going through all my training, that was my really, like, the focus on is how effective and realistic that would be. So,
but how do you test that? Like, experience.
I've kind of got messed around in a few things. I've been involved in a few fights.
We've been drinking.
Really hard to tell. In my martial arts career, I was a bouncer for a while and blah blah blah. I think I might have gotten in 3 altercations physically outside of the dojo. So my martial arts skill, such as it is, has never really been tested in a practical environment. Does that mean that I shouldn't be of whatever rank I am?
Does what a question, man. A judo now I'm bringing it out to other martial arts again, and we're supposed to keep this closed. I'm sorry. I'm backing off.
Fine. Go ahead. No, Bob. You were going in the direction that I think we need to explore. Go ahead.
To judo, you get rank by beating people who are one rank above you, and then you get their rank.
Okay, pause for a second.
So, same as BJJ.
Right. And that works pretty well.
So wait, you can't progress in rank in judo unless you beat somebody of the rank you're trying to achieve. Is that right?
Right. Let's make a distinction between the kind of black belt in judo that I have and the kind of black belt in judo that the real judo practitioners have. There's recreational judo and there's competitive judo, and in the competitive sphere, that's the way it works.
What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
So is that transferable to karate?
Now, wait. Now, once you get into it is transferable, because once you get into the higher ranks, it's not so much how well you beat people, it's what your contribution is, and that's another topic, right?
What do you mean? Well, okay, what do you mean? It's what your contribution is.
How big your school is, how many people are...
Look, I've... Okay, now but that's not the reality of it.
Dude.
In our little bubble here in Southern Ontario.
Okay, we're back to our little bubble. Good.
But just to speak to what you just said, I've seen people promoted to reasonably high ranks who haven't put a black belt on in the last 10 years.
That's our little bubble. So let's talk about our little bubble.
But is it our little bubble, or is that symptomatic of a larger issue?
Can't speak to it to tell the truth.
Fair enough. Neither can I. Darren?
So let's talk about it a little
bit. Funny enough, I'm with you. I honestly didn't have anything to say. I have nothing to add on that.
Okay, let's...
I would like to say one thing. Like, it just caught me off guard. Something that Bob said about recreational judo and competitive judo and blah, blah, blah. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm pretty sure that if Bob and I met in a ring and I made a mistake or I went in and did something, I'm pretty sure he could fuck me, throw me on his ass or my ass, and it'd be like, what the hell happened there? So you sometimes go off in these things thinking that, oh, I know how to do this and I know how to do that and I've studied this and I've studied that and I'm MMA. It doesn't work like that sometimes. You can study all the mixed martial arts you want, but if you walk into a situation where somebody is just so good at that one martial art, it doesn't matter how well versed you are in a variety of martial arts. If you're in a situation where that one guy is really good in that, you're done. And that's been proven many times.
Fair enough.
And just to make the comment, that's, again, Darren taking the judgment of ability to a practical level.
Right.
Let's understand that most people, easily 95% of the people, and I'm happy to make this comment across all martial arts, who train in the martial arts will never find themselves in a practical circumstance. How do you rank those people who never find themselves in any kind of practical application? Now, I got to backtrack a bit. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Judo, you're always training practically because you're always fighting other people.
Right. You're talking about street fights.
I think we need to make that delineation. When I talk about practicality, does that mean practical in a street fight circumstance or practical in whatever environment you train in?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, the bottom line is all we do, it's like America going to war. You go any dude in America that joins the military, they don't want to actually go to war. They just want to learn their shit and do their shit and that's it. You don't go to war. So it's the same thing. You train actually, these things. I don't do any fighting with the fucking hope that I'll actually get in a fight and be able to do something. I don't want to ever get in a fight.
Unfortunate number of people do.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't ever want to get in a fight. If I do, yeah, let's see what happens.
Okay, so...
Yeah,
come at me, cut.
Fuck. Yeah, here, let's
come
go
on,
now.
Bro. Come on, bro.
Who's on here? Who's online here?
I'll fuck you up.
I'll beat you.
Hold on. Okay, before we get off of rank hypocrisy, because there's one more question I really want to explore. But just to finish off the issue of rank hypocrisy, I'd like to hear what you both think about the following question. Is rank devalued when it is given without merit? If someone is given a black belt, and they clearly, obviously don't deserve it, does that necessarily devalue everybody else in that circle who has a black belt?
Yes.
I'm not.
That's not even a discussion.
I'm not even
done.
Answering this. It's,
done.
Are you sure you want to ask that question?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. It does devaluate everything, and it should never be, and that's it.
Well, Darren yelled at me for going off script, and it's right there.
It's right there.
So
it's
I didn't see the script, but I'm just saying.
Thank you. I agree.
It does devaluate everything. It's ridiculous, and I don't think it should be there. And I think everybody should strive toward making that whole system better.
I'll be perfectly honest.
One thing.
I'll be honest after Bob is done. Go.
I'll give you time to be honest. You'll have your honesty time.
Wait, Bob might say something stupid.
Hey, there's always that hope.
Actually,
don't hold your breath, my friend.
I don't think it's a hope. I think it's a likelihood. But go ahead.
Oh,
zing!
All right. What was the question? Shit. I really don't remember what it was.
Is rank devalued when it's given without merit?
I had something to say.
All right.
I'll jump in.
That's tough to say.
Don't worry. Go
ahead. All right. That's ridiculous.
This is going to come to Bob right in the middle of what I'm talking about. Yeah. But I have a certificate of my existing rank, which is irrelevant what that rank is. And it sits on top of my kitchen cupboards in a frame, and I cannot bring myself to hang it up, honestly, because I've seen, especially in our...
I got it.
Oh, see? Right?
I'm sorry.
God damn it.
I said,
son of a bitch.
Funny. Dude, go on. I'm sorry.
I've lost. I despise myself and my rank. Carry on.
Here. Let me interject. Sorry, Bob. I know you're being whatever it is. But what was the rank, asshole. Mitch? What was the rank, Mitch?
I honestly don't want to say. It's irrelevant.
Okay. My thing was, if there's one rank that you're happy with achieving and you know you've achieved that, that's the rank you frame and post on that. Everything
honestly,
else after that,
I agree.
I agree too, but I'll be honest. With the hypocrisy I've seen in the ranking system, it's hard
for me.
No,
you'll
know
yourself.
No,
Jesus
no,
Christ. You
no,
know
you
exactly
don't.
What you
no,
put in. No, I'm
that,
saying you know.
No. Yes, I know. Yeah. I know what I've done and I know what I've achieved, but that's irrelevant because my achievements and my own effort are always measured against some kind of external comparator relative to the rank I get. So it doesn't matter what I do in terms of rank. I can't give myself rank, so somebody else has to give me rank. And if the people who give me rank also give rank to people who don't deserve it, I have to question every rank I've achieved.
We're also actually going down the road of traditional martial arts where somebody has to give you the rank. If you're a scientist, the more shit that you discover, the more your rank increases, and nobody gives you that rank. You do the thing on your own. Do you know what I mean? Like, you discover stuff. Or
yeah,
the
more papers you have published, the more reputation.
Exactly.
No, but wait.
In computers, the same thing.
But
like who is the arbitrator or who is the overlord of ranking systems that decide whether you can move up in a rank or not? And in fairness now, we're not going to get too morbid now, but if we're going to the grand progression of things that the way it used to go to, there's not any, I swear to, I will not accept a rank above what I am from anybody at the moment.
If you, if, wait a second, let me throw this in here. If the sphere, if the panel that was judging your rank consisted of 15 people from Southern Ontario, that's one thing. And if it consisted of 2,000 people from around the world, would that be a different thing?
No.
Okay.
I think it'd be dependent on the knowledge of the people that, as you said, from Ontario would have. But
yeah, this is my
again,
point.
We're going back to a rank thing. I don't think you can go back to a rank over and above what your fucking physical conditions allow you to do unless the rank has something to do with something different. I think that'd be a different topic where you decide your knowledge of the art. Like fuck, if you're teaching music or whatever, you can't necessarily do it. You're trying to recreate the best of the people that are growing up now to do something. Do you know what I mean? So if you're...
No.
No. I'm just saying here. Let me throw this out here, lads.
Because
this
has
been something on my mind before. Let's say you actually go, you only reach your peak as your natural level, and that's it. So it's not, rank doesn't go in your knowledge and all that stuff. It goes in your physical ability. So if
wow,
you
that's
cannot,
a good, that's a wide statement. That's
I know it's arbitrary, but it doesn't mean you can't coach or teach or do any of that stuff. But as far as going over and above your grade, if you can't
that's not a bad idea.
You're
it's
out.
Interesting.
That's it. Done.
That's interesting.
Okay. Okay. Guys, we've been going for about well over an hour. So I want to approach one more topic, and this is a little lighter.
Wait, I remember that comment.
Oh my god, that was 45 minutes ago. God damn it!
You got editing software. You're a professional. All I wanted to say at the time was this one thing when it comes to undeserved rank and refusing I had a good decision that I made that I never regretted, and that was at my Shodan grading. And all I said to the head instructor was, if I don't deserve it, I don't want the rank. And that was an important decision for me to make personally. That's all I'm saying.
You know what's ironic? I have
You go first.
Yeah, let me just interject this. I have never, ever, ever spoken to a student who has said, yeah, I'd like rank I don't deserve. Like, no student.
Yeah,
like,
good point.
I've talked to a ton of students about this offline, and they're all in agreement. They all say, if I don't deserve it, I don't want it. And yet, ironically enough, people get promoted who don't deserve it all the time. And I don't understand that.
Oh, my point was, I was putting my trust in this instructor to only give me the rank if I deserved it. So if they gave it to me, I could assume that I did deserve it.
But that's a really good point, because I have been involved with instructors who have promoted me, but have also promoted people who didn't deserve it. So how does that make me feel about my rank? How should that make me feel about my rank?
I would assume
I was just talking about that one personal decision that was made at that one time.
Yes, and I'm leveraging off of that and saying, I agree with you. I don't want rank I don't deserve. Yep. And my instructor will go, well, here's a rank, you deserve it. But I also see in the same breath that instructor say, you get this rank. And I've actually had an instructor say to me, I gave this person and this person their rank, and I gave that person his rank to keep peace in the family. How do I make my peace with my own rank given that environment?
This reminds me of the recreational judo versus the competitive judo. There's sort of real rank and kind of fake rank.
I don't like any of that. I got a problem with a lot of that. I think a lot of it, you make peace with yourself. Like, especially you, Mitch. Like, I know what shit you do.
Don't
I know
tell
what
Mitch to make
do.
Peace with himself.
If you're happy
you don't
with
know
your
what
rank,
you're dealing with.
That's what, no, I'm just saying. If you're happy with your rank or whatever it was on top of that, that's fine. If somebody else is sitting there happy with their rank, fuck them.
You know what? That's an incredibly salient and telling point. And I'm quite content with my own training habits and the things I do when I work out. And this is why I don't hang my rank on my wall, because I don't care how
what I do. I have no ranks on my wall.
I can't bring myself to hang any certificates. I don't care. I just love the training. I love to train. I love to work out. And that's where my joy comes from. My joy doesn't come from looking at a certificate and go, hey, look what I did.
Do you know what I might hang? I might hang my showdown rank. Someday I might put that up there and go, yeah. It took me like 20 years or however long it took. I haven't done anything beyond that, but I think that's just one thing that I achieved. I'm happy to achieve it. But not for any degrees beyond that. But I think it's a recognizable thing that is tangible.
Mitch and I have talked about this topic before. I've got a pile of things hanging on my wall, and I just want to, in my own defense, my justification for it.
Wait. Darren, could you repeat that? I don't think our listening audience...
You drunken fuck! Fuck, I've been waiting to say that all night. I whip you like a cheese omelet.
Bob, finish that statement, because I think that's an important thing.
I've got a pile of crap hanging up from not only martial arts stuff, but pretty much like framed things from all the different things that I kind of look fondly back on. I'll put it that way. I'm old, okay? I don't know how old you are. Like, you're Darren. You're like 27 or something.
Yeah, whatever you're saying. Yeah. Anyway, I'll go with that, Bob. Here. Any chicks out there listening? I'm 27.
He's single, ladies. I've just got. These are chapters in my life that I look back fondly on. That's the only way I think about it. I've retired from the martial arts, so I don't care about the ranks.
Let me jump in here for a second.
Whether I deserve them.
Bob?
Yeah.
Can you would you concede that the reason you're able to look back on them so fondly is because you're not involved in them anymore?
Absolutely.
Right.
No question.
I'm still heavily
involved. No question.
I'm still heavily involved in the martial arts.
Exactly. That's an important distinction.
Right. And I'm up to my armpits in the politics of it day to day. And my certificates make me... They bring me no joy at all.
That's unfortunate, man.
Okay, I want to move past this unless there's any final comments either of you want to make.
I'm good on that. I think we exhausted that. I have loads of things to say about it. If we wanted to spend the rest of the
Darren, you're an asshole. I got lots of things to say.
I concur with Bob was saying. What Bob says.
You want to go, Darren? You want to go?
No, I concur with what you're saying.
Oh.
Okay, so...
No, I meant that as a joke.
Let's just end this off.
Well, I know you did, because you already admitted that you're old and you can't fight it anymore, so I'll take you.
Zing!
I'll take you.
Up the ass.
Boop! Okay. I'm definitely I'm editing that out.
Are you taking Bob? Or?
Well, oh dear. Okay.
It's the up the ass thing.
Oh, come on. Stop saying it.
Who said that?
He didn't hear it the first time.
I missed it.
I've got
some down, I'm down for it.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Zing. Edit that, motherfucker.
Oh,
we got some editing here now.
Respond to that, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Edit that, motherfucker. That's great.
Best comment of the podcast.
Okay, here's the last. We're gonna go around the table. We'll go Bob, then Darren, and then I'll finish it off.
Honestly, Mitch, seriously, I'm no word of a lie here. Can I just take like 2 minutes?
Go.
Yeah, is that okay?
Of course.
Cheers.
Woohoo! Oh, he's going off.
Oh,
off air.
He left. I thought he was going to say something.
Me too. Can I take 2 minutes? Sure. See ya.
Arrivederci, suckers. Where the hell did Darren go?
That's funny. God damn it. He's in the bathroom or something. He's going to... He's going to...
Can I take 2 minutes? Sure. See ya.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming out. All right, we'll just wait for... I'll edit all this out later.
Hopefully.
This is every bit as awesome and hilarious as I'd hoped it would be.
It was a hoot, man.
Oh, we're not done.
You'll edit that out too, presumably.
I've got the COVIDs. Just wait for Darren to get
back.
I
only got two of the four beers that I had prepared.
Oh. I had two of my hires with a bunch of vodka, and now I'm just into vodka and orange. This is a...
I know, and now it's going to be like cruise along for an hour and then eat a big meal.
And then die. Okay, Darren, you back?
How did you do that?
I can see the levels on your mic. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah. It's fucking professional. Professional, okay.
For a guy who's been a professional musician for like 30 years, he seems remarkably amateurish.
Yeah, white belt. Or no black belt, but
no,
that's
black,
the extent
second
of it.
Degree. We'll take him aside and
oh, yeah. We'll work with him. We'll work with him. Okay, so just getting back to the podcast. This is the last thing we're going to talk about, but it's probably going to take some time. I want, if you guys wouldn't mind, I would love to hear your fondest memories of your martial arts career. Things that happened in your career that you look back on fondly and think, that was really cool. Whether it has to do with you or somebody else or whatever. So I don't care who goes first. Go.
Yeah, please you, Darren, because this puts me on the spot. I'm having a hard time.
Jesus, I fucking...
I'll go
I
first
swear to
if
God.
You want.
Here. I have so many fond memories. And like,
go, man.
Some of my fond memories are my own things, but also many other things. Like, like, funny enough, I remember your black belt grading, Mitch, and I remember the after effects. I remember other black belt gradings before you, Rick Doyle, people like that, where there was a lot of parties afterward. That was like a great fucking thing. And then I remember winning tournaments. It sounds like kind of vain or whatever, but it's like I recognize now, no, it's just a kid. That's what you did. It means nothing in the grand scheme of things. But during those times, that it was just happy times. You win a tournament, you do a grading, you pass a grading, you actually watch somebody else pass a grading. You're the first time when black belt gradings were available to the public, and you got to see that shit. I don't even know where to start. Like where it's one thing or many things or whatever. But
try and wade through the inebriation and pick one or two. And just, it doesn't matter how impactful they were, just something that comes to mind, and describe what happened and how it impacted you.
I know this sounds, self-appropriated or whatever, but I went to a tournament and they had a thing that the most points in the tournament won like a grand prize. It was like $1,000. And I entered every single thing in the tournament. And I was shitty at all of them. Like I wouldn't say I was shitty. I was mediocre at all of them. I trained in all kinds of stuff. That's all that kind of thing we described before, where I know a little bit about different things. I'm not really proficient in anything. But I trained in a lot of stuff. So I just entered all the things in the tournament. And I just hoped for the best. But it ended up, I was just a little bit good at all of them that I ended up winning the grand tournament. And I got a check for $1,000 that I could do whatever I wanted.
How old were you?
Oh, Jesus, not that long ago. I was like in my 30s.
Really?
So, like, it was all right. Like, it was just a weird thing. Like, if you're asking one of the things, it was just, I just had my mind put. So I had to learn a weapons kata. I had to learn a black belt kata. I had to fight in regular sparring. And then I also fought in, I think it was over 30. And, like, it was just a lot of shit. I just involved myself in everything. And I suppose if you're talking about mixed martial arts, it was like just throw yourself out into every situation that whether you're good at it or not, it doesn't matter, and just see what happens. And it just ended up, I had enough training from all my training partners, instructors over the years, that I just did enough in each little thing that I'm not good at any one thing per se, but if you were talking about mixed martial arts, I won that tournament, and I got $1,000.
That's awesome.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's cool. Okay, Bob, go.
Fuck.
I fucked the dog.
I did it really well and got my second degree black belt for it. Thank you very much. From the dog.
How am I going to edit that?
We'll edit that, Bob. So I added another thing. Yeah, we'll edit that.
I took woof woof as second degree for you.
Here, I fucked your dog.
Oh, come on, guys. Jesus Christ. All right, okay. I gotta edit this later.
What if you can't? That'd be hilarious.
I don't think I can.
That's not funny, people. We're only joking here. Dog?
What if you can't?
I didn't actually fuck Bob's dog. It was somebody else's dog.
Hey, what letter does the LBQT WXYZ
D dog.
Great.
Yeah, it was somebody else's dog. It wasn't Bob's dog. We're okay.
I'm getting so many comments on this.
It was over
podcast.
18 years old.
Oh my god. Okay, Bob, could you sincerely not talk about the dog?
And well, she wasn't 18, Bob. She wasn't 18, Bob.
Oh my god. Thanks for coming out, folks.
You might have thought she was 18.
Bitch.
No, he was 18.
No!
Oh,
no!
Zing!
Edit!
It's too late. Bob, seriously, Bob, something in your martial arts career you look back on fondly. That's all.
In all fairness, now, I am really interested in this. No, like, no joking aside.
Go, Bob.
Oh, I thought he was about to say something.
No, he's interested to hear what you have to say.
My memories are kind of interspersed and kind of episodic. Tying the black belt around your waist when you got Shoten. All right, I'll start.
Oh, God, get me all weepy, why don't you?
Yeah, shut up. So there's
that's a big one. That's what she said.
That's what he said.
I'm going to mute Darren. Oh, my God. Keep going, Bob.
When I first started to look into kendo, and I went to visit a kendo club, which is one of the most actually eminent kendo clubs in the world. They routinely win world championships. I was there to just scout it out and to see whether it was for me, and I watched. It was a... this is be my last thing, because it's taking a long time to describe, but
all the time you want. There's no, it's not like someone's got a stopwatch on us.
It was a university gymnasium, or the Etobicoke Olympium. They have a gymnasium in the basement, and around it there's a bunch of grandstands, like viewing stands. And I was there watching my first, you know, this is my intro to kendo. And it was about 50 people dressed in the traditional kendo stuff, with the black skirts and the blue tops, or blue skirts. And one of their exercises was they would line up in lines of 8 or 10 or 12, whatever it took, to get all the people into the lines. And on a command, from one end of the dojo to the other, they raised their swords and started shuffling forward really fast, in a fashion that you would have to look up if you wanted to see what I'm talking about. And with a huge ki across the entire floor while they were doing this. And it just struck me as an image I'll never forget, of samurai on horseback sweeping across a battlefield. And that's exactly what it looked like. And that's what started me thinking that this was the coolest thing I could possibly join, if I ever lived a lifetime where I could do what I want, and I did, and there's that. Okay, done.
Wow.
Your turn.
A couple come to mind. Okay. The things I remember are the things that impact my perspective on the martial arts most profoundly. When I was a Q belt, different circumstances, watching Bob and Mick Rollin.
Who the fuck is that?
Rick Mullen.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry. We're not allowed to.
Right. I'm going to name names. Can I name a name?
Nolan fucking Chris.
Darren Bell. He's an asshole.
Marin. Baron Mel.
Baron Dell.
Anyway,
sorry.
I'm suing.
we signed contracts, my friend.
Yes.
You did.
But Bob hasn't signed his yet. Anyway, watching Bob and Rick spar at different occasions, and the first one I remember is Rick sparring with Bob. And please understand that my memory might be distorted. It was like 30 years ago this happened, but they're fighting and Bob throws a punch and Rick drops into what I remember as close to a perfect front stance as I've ever seen in a sparring circumstance. And he does an inside middle block and a middle reverse punch and scores the closest thing I've ever personally seen to a perfect point.
I remember that, and I was going to say the same thing, but I was taking up too much time.
The other one is, I've got a couple, so the other is, again, Bob fighting Rick. and Bob did a wheel kick that just about took Rick's head off. It was perfect, and Rick was staggered, and Bob was in suicidal fits of regret. And I remember the head instructor saying, "You should feel bad because you hit him, but you shouldn't feel bad because it was a bloody beautiful technique." And that's my memory of that. So there's that. And there's one more thing I want to, one more circumstance, two more that I want to remember. When Bob and I, Bob ran a club, a karate club for what, 15 years? Bob?
Oh, please. We both did.
No, you did for the first.
Fuck, here, can I interrupt? I didn't realize it was that long. That's pretty important.
Sorry, what? What? I lost.
How long did we run it for?
Sorry, that's pretty important. I didn't realize you had a club for that long.
No, Bob.
I thought you did it for a couple of years or whatever. But yeah,
Bob, you ran the club back when it was on Yonge Street in Toronto. I didn't join until it was in Swansea. So,
oh, geez, I don't make the connection between those two clubs.
Anyway, Bob ran a club, and he was kind enough to let me take part in it for a long time. Anyway, we did judo. We did a lot of judo. Loved judo.
I love judo.
The thing that sticks out in my head the most about that, and it's one of the most telling things about my memories of the martial arts, is I got to experience what it feels like to be thrown in with absolute.
I forgot that. I should have mentioned that.
Wait a sec. No, this is important.
I could hear it.
He threw me with such precision. Yeah. I was helpless. I was inverted and looking up at the roof going, wow, I have absolutely no control over how I'm going to fall. It was bloody perfect. And I honestly will always look back on that as a very, very compelling moment in my history. Now, having said that, this one's a little harder to admit. I threw Bob once in a way that felt effortless, and I don't.
It was awesome. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
No. I'm about to start crying because
you fucked him up.
Please don't finish that sentence.
Sorry, I'm just assuming.
I threw Bob, and it felt the way I always heard a throw should be. It should be effortless. It should be without resistance, and you break the balance and you do this and you do that, and it's just like breathing. And I was lucky enough to experience what it feels like to execute a throw that way. I remember that vividly. I'll never
slow
forget
motion
that.
Man, I got a slow motion replay of that in my head all the time.
I was drink clicking. Work away. Sorry. There no we heard it. It was there. I loved it. It was like music.
All right, guys. I think we're going to bring this podcast to a close. Do either of you have any final words you'd like to say?
Oh my God.
No, man. This has been a blast. That's all.
Good one. Very articulate.
Good one.
Thumbs up on that comment there.
All right, guys.
I think here to say, like, several things, like, we covered a lot of topics. I think. Fuck. That's where I. No, but the other thing. No, in all seriousness now, when you go through the topics, you can discuss it while you're discussing it. It doesn't matter whether it's over a few drinks or anything, but you discuss it. You can close off the podcast, and I think we could actually open up another podcast and discuss the same things again with different views.
With different perspectives, yeah.
Because we've heard different arguments and different points of views and stuff like that, and we don't have the time to discuss everything on there. So I think
not only that, but he's
going to
have so many comments
to interpretation.
About this. He's going to get a lot of comments about this that'll set off a lot of other stuff.
Sorry,
look, I.
You mean the dummies? You mean the dummies that fucking go. Whatever. Sorry. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, rock that. I meant the listeners.
What are they called?
Listeners. The listeners. the listeners.
God damn it. Look, guys, this has been a riot. I want to do this again sometime.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
In the not-too-distant future. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. So let me just do the extra, and we'll finish this off. Look, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Once again, this is the No Mind Podcast. If you've got any comments, any questions, any suggestions for future topics, you can post them on the Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, Mitch Maxine, or you can send them to my email address, nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. Bob, thank you so much for coming on.
Man, don't worry about that. Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Darren, I know you're up late. You're in Ireland, so it's like 11 o'clock there almost. Jesus.
That's not late.
I really appreciate you being here, man.
It's actually been my pleasure talking to both of you guys. It's been inspirational, like just to hear somebody else's point of view in the discussion, in the format that you've actually established here.
Good to talk to you, Darren.
Whatever that podcast was that you said, it's a great format.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks again. And everybody, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time on the No Mind Podcast. Thanks so much, folks. Bye-bye.